Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. In Christ Jesus, whose gospel is a power of God unto salvation, dear fellow redeemed, this past week, Ruth and I were walking, and we saw a Christmas tree still lit up in the window of one of our neighbors. Christmas is over a month ago, and it seems like longer ago than that. All those special midweek Advent services, special Christmas Eve service, Christmas Day service, they're all gone. Now we're back to our Sunday-only routine. May this routine keep in us the joy and the blessing of hearing that precious word of God, the word that gives life to us, a life that never ends. As an adult, Jesus had his routine too. His routine was to be found in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Something special happened on this particular Sabbath, when Jesus was in the synagogue in the city of Capernaum. Those people worshiping in the synagogue on that particular day had heard the word of God before, probably all their life. And yet, on that day, they were confronted with the word in the person of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. They were amazed at the authority of his words and of his work. What a breath of fresh air that must have been, hearing Jesus speaking to them personally, face to face, when he got up and spoke the word. Now, we're not told in our text what Jesus said. We're not told the message he gave, what passage he read from the Old Testament. But we are told the impression that Jesus' words made on all the people. They were astonished because Jesus didn't speak like the scribes and the teachers of the law. Jesus didn't quote some legal expert. He didn't quote all the past rabbis. He spoke the good news on his own authority. And that was one of the lessons the disciples needed to learn, that when they listened to Jesus speak, they listened to the final authority. They listened to the final word, the word of God that proclaimed who God is, what God has done, who's the only one who could proclaim to this world of ours God's undeserved love to lost and condemned sinners like us. But there's another amazing thing that happened on that particular Sabbath day. As Jesus was speaking, a demon-possessed man suddenly shouted out, "Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." One thing all the demons recognized and understood was who Jesus was. Satan knew that Jesus had come to take away his death hold, his death strangle on all of mankind. His position as prince of this world was going to be destroyed. In fact, Jesus won that first battle with Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. It's interesting that the demon's words here are wiser than some theologians of our day. Theologians who really don't know who Jesus is and why he came. Theologians who say, oh, he's a great man, a great scholar, a great teacher, comes to preach about peace and love and joy. But they don't know he came to die for man's sins. And they deny that Satan even exists. Satan knew that his time was short. And he shook with fear and trembling and is filled with hatred and spite. And even though what the evil spirit said there was true, Jesus did come to destroy Satan, and he is the Holy One of God, Jesus did not want his words to testify of him. Satan is not a good testimonial of the Lord. Jesus' own words and his own works can testify for himself. People knowing this man was demon-possessed could hear these words and say, well, that's the devil speaking. He's the father of lies. Why should I believe what he is saying? Also, Jesus didn't want this man proclaiming him at that time to be the Messiah, the Savior, because the people weren't ready for that yet. They weren't ready for the spiritual implications of what that meant, that he was the Messiah. And we see that in just a few chapters later, when Jesus fed the 5,000, and what happened? The people wanted to make him their bread king. They looked upon him as the physical king, a king who would feed them, who would clothe them, and rule in Jerusalem, and conquer the Romans. They didn't see Jesus as that spiritual king who would give them the heavenly kingdom through grace. And so Jesus said to that evil demon, be quiet. Jesus didn't need nor want the testimony of Satan. He would speak his words now, testify to himself, and soon he would choose all of his disciples to do that witnessing, that testifying. And then in the future, he would choose you and me and all of us as his followers to proclaim that good news, that message of salvation alone through Jesus Christ to all the world. Jesus didn't want nor need the demons. Well, this evil spirit has no power over Jesus, and so he is silent. But Jesus has compassion upon this poor man, and he says to him, come out from him. The unclean spirit convulses the man, and he comes out. We see two things. One, evil spirits are far more powerful than we are. Two, they're not as powerful as Jesus. Jesus is all power. His power and his word makes that evil spirit obey his commands. Yes, something marvelous, something wonderful, something special happened that particular Sabbath day in the synagogue in Capernaum. The people there heard with their very own ears the word, Jesus, proclaimed to them the good news with authority. And they saw his power over Satan. They were amazed. They said, this is a new teaching, a new doctrine with authority. And they marveled at his work. That's the Messiah. That's the Savior. That is the Holy One of Israel. But you know that every Sunday, something special, something wonderful happens here in church at Peace Through Christ. We have chosen as our theme this morning, In Church with Jesus, Our Epiphany Lord. Every Sunday we come to church to hear Jesus speak to us. And he speaks to us in his word. He reveals to us his glory, his majesty, his power, his might. He proclaims to us and manifests himself as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of all people. So every Sunday we come to church, first of all, to receive his miracle. What miracle is that? Miracle of healing? Raising the dead? No. The miracle of Jesus' power over Satan. Every Sunday we come to God's house and we hear Jesus tell us how impotent we are, how puny we are, how weak we are, how filled with sin we are, how powerless we are to fight against Satan, our own sinful flesh, and this sinful world. We see that every day in our lives. We see it when we fail to do what God tells us to do perfectly in thought, word, and deed. We see it when we fall into Satan's temptations, or this world temptations, or the temptations that our sinful flesh leads upon us. And yet, every day, our sinful minds, our corrupt hearts lie to us. They tell us, you're not so bad. In fact, you're pretty good. You say your prayers. You go to church. You love other people. In fact, you're better than others. Or they say, well, you know, you're so strong in faith, you don't need Jesus all the time. You don't need his word all the time. You can handle all those day-to-day problems. Turn to him only when something's really, really bad, really serious. We must think that way. We must feel that way. Or else all of us would every day be in God's word, hearing it and reading it. All of us would be here every single Sunday, hearing God's word, studying God's word, knowing that our flesh is terribly weak. We need to come to her church to hear God's word. First of all, tell us that you're demon-possessed. So am I. Not like that person in Capernaum with our bodies, but our hearts. Satan lives in us when we sin. We too fall for Satan's lies. We fall for his temptations. Our sinful flesh desires, longs for, enjoys being under his control. God tells us, he who sins is of the devil. That's a scary thought. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. We also need to hear these words of God from 1 John. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Hebrews 4:2. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus tells us in John 12, now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 when he crushed Satan's authority, Satan's head over all of us. All of his enemies, and therefore all of our enemies, have been destroyed and put under his feet. He has entered that strong man's house, Satan's house. He has bound Satan. He has plundered his goods. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them through his death and resurrection. And so we saw through eyes of faith that happened that Sabbath day in Capernaum. Jesus casting out that evil spirit was a foreshadowing of what Jesus would accomplish when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, thereby crushing Satan's authority, crushing Satan's power over us, his children. For when Jesus rose from the dead, the first thing he did was descend to hell and proclaim his victory over Satan and all the evil spirits. Every Sunday we come to hear Jesus proclaim his miracle to us, his miracle of conquering sin, death, and Satan. And every Sunday we also come to share his word. We need to share this word of God with each other to strengthen us in our faith walk Now, there are some theologians today who deny the possibility of demon possession, both back then and even today. And it's true, we don't see much of it today as it did back in Jesus' day. But we know that Satan's evil spirits are wise enough to know that they have to change with the times and adapt to the times. And so Satan doesn't need to take over people's bodies today. He has many other ways of leading people astray. The most effective way is through false teaching. Getting people to believe the Bible is not the verbally inspired, inerrant word of God. It does not have all the answers to life and the only way to everlasting life. Today there are many churches who have false teachings within their church that lead away from Jesus and put some confidence in people, in themselves, that Jesus is not the only way. There's many ways to everlasting life, and that God is not the only one, the triune God. There are many different gods in this world. Jesus used many other ways too. Evolution, to lead people. It's taught in every single public school in our country, in all the universities, to lead man to think that I'm the measure of all things. There's no God. We came by chance happenings. And therefore, this is it, life here on this earth. He also uses drugs and alcohol, pornography, immorality, disobedience, all of those and countless thousands of other ways to get people to fall into his trap and to be ensnared by him. And he uses that also on you and on me. He's that roaring lion that walks about seeking and wanting to devour you spiritually. Now, we heard earlier that we're not as powerful as Satan or the demons. So what can we do? If Satan is that roaring lion, he wants to spiritually devour me, what can I do? The Bible says resist him. That sounds good. How do we do that? Resist him by staying firm in the faith, looking to Jesus and his word. That word that we hear here in church, in Bible class, confirmation class, Sunday school, Christian day school, ladies' guild, our fellowship gatherings. We need to share that word with each other so we can resist Satan and his attacks upon us. We also need to share that word with those outside of these walls, with those out in the world. Let's look at the last verse of this text this morning. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. How'd that happen? The people that were there in that synagogue left and told others. So that suddenly the whole region around Galilee knew about what had taken place. I'm convinced that if this morning Jesus was standing right here in person in front of you and me, and he raised someone from the dead, or he cast out an evil spirit from one of you, or he healed someone in this congregation, we wouldn't be able to wait to get out of this building to text it to someone, to tell someone, to call the TV, to tell the newspaper what we saw and what we heard in church this morning. Well, it is what we saw and heard in church this morning. And greater than that, even, we heard that Jesus took all of my sins and your sins, all the terrible things that we do, and cast them into the depths of the sea and paid for them in full by dying on the cross. And then he rose from the dead and says, because I live, you will live also. He gives us the assurance of everlasting life. And he says, by the way, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world, and my word will be strengthening you every single day till I come to take you to be with me in heaven. Why don't we this morning, after this church service, text someone about what we heard? Tell someone what we heard. Go home and tell others about Jesus. So that God could say about this too. And immediately, his fame spread throughout all the region around Madison, around Wisconsin. No matter where God has placed you, he's given you the ability to tell others about his word. Now that we have seen Jesus with eyes of faith, seen him perform this marvelous miracle of casting out the evil spirit, seen him take our place and suffer and die upon the cross for us, seen him rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, and assure us he'll be with us always, even to the end of the world this morning. Let us go out and let us be those faithful servants and share that word of God with those whom we meet. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.